about the genetic testing, because I'm definitely still excited about that.
Hey, Tony.
Hey, Phil. How are you?
Good. Tammy.
Hey, Phil.
Troy.
Hey, Phil.
Anyone else here right now?
Can you tell who's on the line? Like,
no.
Did the number show up? Oh, okay.
No, I just, when I came in, I heard you and Tammy talking, and I just spoke to Troy before this call. I can find out after. As soon as we finish the call, I get a download.
Gotcha. And it tells you who's the numbers and stuff like that?
Yep.
How are you?
I'm great. Man, it's so funny to me that people are complaining. You know, it's like we had to put up our hurricane shutters and buy water and nothing happened. Like, no, listen to the last part of that. Nothing happened. You know, celebrate that. But they get pissed. They're like, the weather people don't know what they're talking about. But, man, I am so thankful. I mean, especially when I see what's going on in the Bahamas. I'm looking for every opportunity I can find to help the people in the Bahamas because you feel helpless, you know. But no, nothing happened here. Honestly, nothing. It rained and there was a little bit of wind.
Yeah, I'm looking at that.
Where is it now? Virginia? Like, it's still alive, right?
I believe so. I believe so.
It's so weird that when it leaves this area, it's kind of off the radar. I mean, not literally, but it's not, you know, on every news channel, everywhere you go, you see the cone of doom. And then when it leaves here, you just kind of forget about it.
Yeah, I was just saying to Tammy, we got a bunch of rain going on here in New York, so I'm sure that, you know, we're getting some of the residual part of it as well, because it's a lot of rain. But the Bahamas is just crazy to see that.
Yeah, I mean, they say the death toll is 20, but I have a feeling they're just going to uncover more and more. I can't believe after seeing that devastation that everybody but 20 people survived. It's crazy.
No, but what they're saying is that there was so much destruction and so much collapse that they're not gonna know. There's probably, I mean, I hate to say this, but there, you know, a multitude of people that are buried underneath all the rubble. They
yeah,
just can't
horrible.
Be recovered yet.
And got swept out to sea.
You get swept out to sea, yeah, it's just
yeah, it kinda looks more like the aftermath of the tsunami than it does even like Katrina.
Yeah.
I mean, complete devastation. So anyway, I am very thankful every minute of every day that it didn't hit here. Tammy, you didn't get much, did you?
No, just some rain and wind. Nothing.
I heard that Trump said it's looping around and coming back to Alabama, and then from there going to Battle Creek. So, Troy, you better just keep your eyes open. All right, so we're going to talk about Troy. We have a call next week. And just to kind of give you some calendar updates, I'm supposed to start a live metabolic reboot group on Monday, but I'm not. I'm pushing it back a week. So it'll be a week from Monday. I want to finish my seminar before I fully commit to what I'm about to say, but I have my seminar Thursday night the 12th. So this is the redo of the one last time where I closed nobody. So I want to talk a little bit about that. But I want to see the outcome because I'm doing some things differently, and I'll talk about some of those things. But also we're going to talk about Troy because Troy promoted a seminar. Well, Troy, you tell him.
I promoted a seminar, as you said. Did a lot of all the social media aspects. As far as the different areas that you can do it, Instagram, Facebook, etc., did emails, and produced just one couple that actually attended.
Hmm. And you said the couple was interested, and then they talked themselves out of it, right?
Yeah, by the end of it, yeah, they were very excited, very interested, asking good questions, good to go. And in the end, she's like, well, maybe we should wait because of this, and okay, whatever. So... But, you know, we'll follow up with them, of course, you know.
Right.
So that's kind of it. There's not really much else to tell. Just be the way to better promote, I think.
Tony, would you have any questions as to why I'm getting 40 people and he's getting zero? Or a couple, one couple?
I have a load of questions. I don't even know where to start with them, though.
Well, it's really, when we look at it, it's really not a mystery. So I asked Troy's permission to talk about this, and I also gave Troy the ability to say, Phil, stop, it's enough. Because I don't want to sound critical. But, you know, I'm reaching a point in business and in my career where I'm being exposed to a lot of other types of businesses, medical businesses, stem cell businesses, wellness companies. And I'm just finding that the commonalities of business are the same as they were 40, 50 years ago, but the separation factor is all about the internet and social media. Like, the businesses that couldn't keep up with that or understand its value are struggling or are falling by the wayside or are simply holding on to business they once had. So I'm going to take a little bit of a convoluted road here, but really what I want to talk about most of all is marketing. And I'll start out by saying that Troy texted me or emailed me, and somebody asked him for a flyer. Do you have a flyer? And my first response was, no, I really don't. I mean, I don't really use flyers. And the truth is I have one. It wasn't that I was keeping it secret, but honestly, when he asked me, I didn't even think of it because it's such a tiny little tool in my toolbox. But then he asked me again, and I said, yeah, I have something I'll send you, and I did. And I sent him a flyer that I used for the I think for the seminar that Tammy came to, Tammy and Tasso. And he took that flyer and he ran with it and he made copies of it. He put his picture in it and his partner Penny's picture in it and he put different graphics. And when he says, you know, he advertised, he put that flyer on Instagram and on Facebook and everywhere. And there's a reason that I'm hesitant when people ask me for a flyer. And Tony, you may remember this even from the first time you came to a seminar of mine, however many years it was ago. And I said, the first thing trainers do is make up business cards and flyers and they think they're in business. And here's the hard, cold truth. Flyers don't work. And I don't know if that sounds familiar, but it was a really long time ago. So flyers still don't work. So today, Troy's question to me was, well, if they don't work, why do you even have one? And I explained, because it's a physical exchange, but it doesn't work without me having a conversation with somebody. Like, it gives me something to say, get your husband signed up for this. But it never works by, like, hanging them on walls or putting it on a bulletin board in a company. Honestly, never. So I think that's the primary difference, is Troy really exploited the flyer very well, but unfortunately flyers don't work. So by talking about marketing, I think we could all come to some realizations and conclusions about how everyone can work together to create a different kind of effort and really see an outcome. And I want to first tell you about this woman who I met in Seattle, and I might have told you about her before because she was such an example of somebody who is closed-minded. Rarely do I meet somebody who is really this quintessentially the definition of closed-mindedness. She's about 60 years old, and she told me she's a recreational aquatic therapeutic specialist. Now, it sounds impressive, but never in my life, not even for a moment, did I come in contact with somebody who said to me, I'm really looking for a recreational aquatic therapeutic specialist. Never. I mean, I've had people say to me, I want a piece of pizza. I've had people say to me, I would love to drive a old Mustang. But I've never had anybody say to me, I'm looking for a recreational aquatic therapeutic specialist. And she was in a workshop I conducted, and we went around the room, and everybody sort of gave their little summary. But her summary was angry. And what else is interesting is what I did at first is I had everybody pair up, and I said, I want you to interview each other, and then I want each of you to present the other. When it came to her, she kind of forgot that she's supposed to present the other person. She presented herself. And she was very bitter, and she said, you know, I get jobs. I get hired at the YMCA. They pay me minimal wage, and then they wind up firing me because they don't see the value. They don't understand what I could do for people. And I go, well, what can you do for people? Oh, I mean, if they have injuries, you know, I can make them better. If they have pain, you know, they could work out in the pool. I mean, there are so many things I could do for people. I said, and how do you send that message out? And she goes, well, I want them to distribute my cards and my flyers. And I said, do you have one with you? And she said, no. And I said, well, what does it say on your flyer? And she said, it says recreational aquatic therapeutic specialist. And she goes, and I've been through it. Like, none of the owners even care. They just care about money. And I said, okay, are you open to a little bit of direction? She said, yes, that's why I'm here. It's okay, great. So I had an idea for her. But we went around the room and finished, and then we walked, you know, we went to various people. And then when I came to her, I said, okay, I want to ask you again what you do for people. She said, I'm a recreational aquatic therapeutic specialist, almost with a tone like, how many times do I have to tell you? And I go, well, no, I'm not asking you your title. I'm asking you what you do for people. And she shrugged, like, how many times do I have to tell you? I said, I want to hear it as if I'm meeting you for the first time. I want to hear how you present. She goes, well, I'm very credentialed. I have credential in CPR. I have credential as a personal trainer. I go, I know, but you're not quite understanding my question. If I had a need for you, what would the need be? And she goes, anything. It could be anything. Well, here was my idea. I think we've spoken at some point about my meeting with Masaru Emoto years ago, the guy who put energy into water and crystallized the water. Does that sound familiar? Do you guys remember that?
Yeah.
Okay. So I was thinking, if she can get people well in the water, don't market yourself as a recreational aquatic therapeutic specialist because nobody even knows what that means. Create a program called the magic of water, the healing power of water. You know, show people amazing stuff. Do an actual experiment in there showing what happens when you say, I love you to a glass of water versus you're stupid. I couldn't even get through a full sentence. She was so defensive. She overtalked every attempt I made to help her see her shortcomings. She's 60 years old. She's set in her ways. She's angry. She's bitter. And unless there's a major shift, it's pretty clear that the wall in front of her will limit her for the rest of her career. Now, something interesting happened. The workshop was in the morning. It was over at noon. And then there was a general session. I spoke at the general session. And on the break, almost everyone in the workshop individually came to me and goes, what was that idea you had for that woman? Like, they all wanted to know. The only one who didn't know was her. So here's what she thinks. She thinks people should respect me because of my training and should hire me because of what I do. Right? I mean, clearly, that's what she's thinking. Like, they don't respect me. That's why they don't pay me enough money, and they don't refer people to me, and it's wrong, it's unjust. So she thinks people should respect me because of my training, my title, and they should hire me because I can do something. The people in the facility who run the programs think nobody wants to work with that water lady. Nobody's responding to her flyers. Nobody wants to work with her. And the potential prospects, if there is such a thing in her case, they think nothing. They think nothing because if they have a shoulder injury, a knee injury, an orthopedic issue, tennis elbow, their RIS doesn't even place her in their conscious awareness. They're not thinking of they never heard of a recreational aquatic therapeutic specialist. So even if she hands them a flyer that says recreational aquatic therapeutic specialist, there's zero chance that they're going to hire her. So the lesson from this is an old lesson, but it's an important one. It doesn't matter what you think. So if she were in front of me, that's what I would say. It doesn't matter what you think. If you want to get people to respond, you got to get what you think out of the way. We have to find out what they think. But as long as you think they should come to you because of your credential, obviously, it's not working. It doesn't matter what you think. Listen, I think the term medical fitness is a non-sexy, non-magnetic, non-compelling term. When I speak at the medical fitness conferences, I don't see a lot of athletic people there. I don't see people who are dying to go out to the pool in their bathing suits. I don't. they attract a certain demographic. And my feeling is the term medical fitness is just not compelling. Somebody's got some noise or is doing something weird. Whoever you are,
mute. It's me. I'm stopped. Taking a hard drive at a computer.
Oh, okay.
Hey, did you get, Phil, did you get the text from Tasso?
No.
He's trying to get in and it says it's locked.
It's locked.
It's text.
Let me see if I can figure out how to unlock it. Hold on, guys.
You lock Tasso up.
All right, text him back and tell him to try now.
Okay.
I don't know how I locked it, but I think I just unlocked it.
Finally got rid of Tasso.
The anti-Tasso button. So I understand the term medical fitness. I agree there's probably a place for it, but not in marketing language. Not right now anyway. Do you guys agree?
Yes.
Okay. So Lisa Dougherty, who is the founder of the Medical Fitness Network, is very stuck on that term. So, you know, I took a position with her organization that I happened to resign last weekend and officially today. And I don't regret it. It was an interesting experience, but I don't want to be stuck. I don't like being stuck. And I feel like even the term the Medical Fitness Network is not magnetic. So I didn't just conclude this. I conducted a focus group of her members. And this is all confidential, but I'll share this with you guys. Not one person on the call, there were 20 people on the call, not one could articulate a specific quantifiable goal. Not one. When I said, okay, guys, just tell me what you'd like to see happen in your future, they would tell me global things. They'd go, the world of fitness and medicine to come together. I go, no, but I mean in your life. I want you to articulate a goal. Tell me what you'd like to achieve. And the only thing they kept coming back to was doctors will refer people to us. And I said, no, but I mean like an outcome where you can actually manifest something. What would you like to manifest? That insurance would pay for our services. So the avatar that I'm looking to reach is simply not in this group. Not one could articulate a specific quantifiable goal. I would have liked to hear one of them say something like, I'd like to earn more than $50,000. Even that. You know, I'd like to own my own facility. I'd like to multiply and have four facilities. I'd like to partner with a medical group, something. None of them could. None could describe, other than I want to get referrals from doctors, how the course can alter their income potential. I was talking about a course I developed that's offered through the MedFit Network. They hadn't taken it yet. And I said, and I want to know if the course, in fact, empowers you to see things differently, how do you think it could alter your income potential? None of them can answer. I said, okay, if you attend a medical fitness conference, what impact do you think that will have on your personal future? It was really as if I was speaking a different language. Now, Lisa wasn't on that call, but she has heard me confront groups in that way, and she gets very offended. She shuts me down. She says, stop pressuring them. And I'm not pressuring them. I'm really trying to give them a wake-up call. But her way is just different than my way. So what I find is the avatar that is attracted to medical fitness, when it's marketed as medical fitness, is an older, non-motivated, stagnant trainer waiting for a doctor to provide referrals. That's not the force I want to connect with. So I share this because of a single element of an uncomfortable discussion that I had with Lisa when I resigned my position. I asked for numbers. She would speak in generalities. She'd go, well, we have 9,000 members. It's not true. There were 9,000 people who had been given free memberships, but most of them never even opened the email telling them they had it. So there's a lot of exaggeration, and I don't think she's bad. I think she's naive. I think she's a little deluded. I think she has really, really good intention. But I just don't think you could market medical fitness and attract the kind of force that I want to attract. So I got some actual numbers, and I said, Lisa, I looked at this. Out of the last 250 people who were given free memberships, out of the last 250 people who were given free memberships, six of them visited the site more than three times. Out of 250, six visited the website. So that right away says to me 244 out of 250 people had no interest. Zero responded to the offer to upgrade and pay for their membership. Zero out of 250. So I was saying, so if you're really going to grow this thing, you've got to confront the truth. They're not interested based on the marketing you're doing. That's a fact. That's not my opinion. It doesn't matter what I think. It matters what the evidence shows. So it doesn't mean they're not interested in what you have. It means they're not interested in what they're getting from the marketing. They don't see how it could bring them value. So if they don't see how it could bring them value, they would do exactly what they're doing. Nothing. And I tried for a while to kind of bring about change in that area, and maybe I brought about some, but it's always short-lived. Because, you know, she goes back to it. And I wish her well. I hope it starts to work in whatever way. But it's just not the force I'm looking to connect with. And I can say that 100 times because that's how I feel. Lisa told me she thinks these people should respond. That was her answer. Rather than saying, maybe we do need to try a different messaging. Maybe we need to try some different words. Maybe we need to try some different offers. She said to me, I think they should respond. It's what people need.
Wait, hold on. You said they're not responding, but they should respond?
Out of 250, zero who were given a free membership took the offer to upgrade for $19 to a paid membership. Zero.
Okay, so she said that they did not
She thinks
respond,
they should.
But they should.
Yes, okay. She thinks they should.
Okay.
And that comes back to the same thing I said about the aquatics lady. It doesn't matter what you think. It doesn't. Because you're throwing stuff out there and nobody's picking it up. So we get very stuck sometimes based on what we think. If we think we've got the perfect message and we think people should respond, but they don't, we've got to stop thinking what we think. We've got to open up to the reality and change. So I'm going to tell you exactly what she said. She said, I think they should respond. It's what they need, and they just don't understand it yet. That's what she said. So my follow-up was, if they don't understand it, your offer is wasted. You have to first find a way to help them understand it. Then, if they understand it, then maybe your offer will work. And only testing will tell. It doesn't really matter what you think. It matters what people respond to. So a difficult challenge for all of us has been the gap between what we know people need and what they think they need. I don't know how many of you speak to people these days in macros. Does anybody? 60% carbs, you know, 30%. Does anybody use that language anymore?
No.
Very rarely.
So, but you'll sometimes meet somebody who just read a book or talk to somebody else, and they'll go, well, I need macros. So you know what they need. They need to completely change the way they eat and move and think. But they think they need macros. So if some other trainer put up a sign and said, we'll give you macros, they'd go there. And it frustrates us because we know what people need, but if they don't know, they won't respond unless we're creative in our marketing. Does that make sense? It's frustrating because we want to say, I could help you lose weight. I could help you get fit. I could help you reverse your condition. But if they go, oh, no, no, I found a plan for keto. So somehow we would have to outmarket keto. We can't just put out the truth if it's not what they respond to and expect them to respond. So I acknowledge for me as well as for all of you, it's a difficult challenge because we have no question as to what they need. But if we just make flyers or brochures or messaging that says, here's what we'll give you, they won't respond.
Well, that reminds me of something that, Eric Ruth had put in one of his marketing plans before. He said, you have to figure out what people, it was more what they want, and then also not just what they want, maybe you could say want, need, but also you have to give it to them in the form of which they want and need it, at least up front.
Initially.
You just can't, yeah, up front, because otherwise you can't capture their attention.
Right, which is why free weight loss is working. I never would have thought this is where I'd end up, honestly. Because, you know, for so many years, it served me to go, I'm not doing anything for free. If you're not happy, I'll give you back your money. And now, because of what has happened in terms of marketing and the internet, and everybody's an expert, I can't be stuck in what I think people should respond to. I've tested a whole lot of stuff. They're responding to free weight loss. Now, did I give it to them? I did. I gave it to them, at least initially. But those who got the best results, of course, were the ones who upgraded and signed on with a trainer and did the entire program. So we also have to realize, and this is a lesson I learned a long time ago, that no doesn't mean no. You know, Troy, I'm glad that you said, you know, after you mentioned the couple and they talked themselves out of it, you go, of course I'm going to follow up. Because no doesn't mean no. And I want to give you two very, very recent examples, both from this week. Amanda was, man, she's great. She's great because she came in with the longest list of stresses I had ever seen. She had just gone through a divorce. In the same week, her father passed away. I mean, it was like every possible stressor. And she's visibly overweight. And after her intake or during her intake, she revealed she has a lot of like deep emotional pain. She's not very open. She cried during the intake, but rarely would she ever do that in front of people. And she was very, very, very shut down. And she wound up going through the reboot, and she wouldn't let us weigh her at the beginning, so I don't know how much weight she lost. She refused. She was very, very adamant that you're not going to weigh me. But, I mean, it's night and day to see her. You just see a different person. She carries herself differently. She started taking yoga classes. She started taking spinning classes. And to see her in a spinning class, I mean, this woman who was so uncomfortable in her own skin is going, woo, and she's got her hands up and she's screaming. And just really, really wild to see. So she's one of the great success stories. Now, she pays $900 for a membership. I am taking the club that some of you saw called Biohackers, and I'm turning it into Reignite or Reignition Fitness. So if I say Reignition Fitness, it's the same facility. But our premium membership is $900 a month. I know that sounds really expensive until you understand it. It includes 3 times a week of cryo, which would normally be like $100, $125 a session. It includes 3 times a week of hyperbaric, which would normally be $200 a session if you went to a medical facility. So for somebody who has need or desire for those things, it's a really good deal. And we also include 2 IVs and every month. And we also include a 30-minute consult with a personal trainer, a coaching session. And, of course, the intention is to get them to then commit to personal training. So Amanda did all of those things, and she's been going for her IVs, and she's been working with a trainer. So I walk in the other day, and Jessica at the front desk says, oh, I just want to tell you Amanda canceled. And I said, what? She's like our happiest. She goes, I know. She's so happy. I said, then why did she cancel? And she said, because she got everything she wanted. I said, Jessica, you let her get away with that? And she goes, well, yeah, I was happy. I mean, she got everything she wanted. And that's where I realized the gap between me, us, you know, and somebody who we hire to do a job. because no doesn't mean no. I want to cancel doesn't mean I want to cancel. It means we need a mindset shift. So I don't fear the no. I don't fear the I'm going to cancel. Annie is a hairdresser. Annie pays $300 a month. She doesn't get all of that stuff. She pays $300 a month. She gets to use the pulse, which is the pulsed electromagnetic frequency, and she does classes and a whole lot of other stuff, and she's getting extreme value. She came in with a limp, and she could barely raise her right arm because of shoulder pain, and she's a hairdresser, so she has a lot of trouble, and she's been to chiropractor. She got cortisone shots. She got MRIs. Nothing was diagnosed. She came in and did the pulse as well as other things 5 times a week, and she said she's canceling. So I happened to catch her on the pulse yesterday, and I said, Annie, what is this that I'm hearing? She goes, yeah. She goes, I'm feeling great. I said, well, wait a minute. How much better is your hip? She goes, oh, my hip doesn't bother me at all. I go, okay, so we'll call that 100%? She goes, yeah. And I said, how much better is your shoulder? And she said, I'd have to say 85%. I said, remind me again all the things you tried before you came here. And she went through the whole list. She didn't mind talking about it. And this one and that one, and they did this thing. They tried this treatment, and they put this cream on, and then I went for the cortisone shot, and it didn't do anything.
Hello?
So, hi.
We lost you for a minute.
Okay. What did you hear? Did you hear me talk about Amanda wanting to cancel and Annie wanting to cancel?
Annie wanted to cancel, and he went through and everything she'd been through, and she was willing to talk.
Okay. So she's 100% better in her hip, 85% better in her shoulder. So I knew I couldn't make it about the money. So when I spoke to them individually, I realized that what they say in a moment is very simply what they emotionally believe in that moment. When they canceled in that moment, they believe they should cancel. Why? Because they got better. To me, that's absurd. So I knew what they needed was a reconnection with the PFC. You guys understand that. I still have to train my staff so they understand it. And the idea is not to convince them to stay. The idea is to help them decide whether they're making the best decision. So we took Amanda from, I finally feel great, to a different thought process. I feel great. I have a new sense of my own potential. And man, I'd like to know what it feels like to be even better than this. That became her mantra. I want to know what it feels like to be even better than this. So she decided she was going to re-up right there in that moment. She goes, oh, yeah, of course I should stay. She goes, I thought I was better. I go, well, you are better, but let's now see what you can do. So I said, assuming a wish could make you even better, right now you could make a wish, what would you wish for? Now, originally when I met with her in her intake and I asked her what would be an ideal weight for you, she said 160. This week, she said 130. I said, why did you say 160 last time? She goes, because I've never weighed less than 160 as an adult. But now I believe I could be 130. I said, great, so let's reactivate your membership. And she did. Changing Annie from the thought process of my shoulder is 85% better to let's see this as a new starting point and get you completely out of pain. It's like she got hit by lightning. She was like, ah, yeah, that's great. Of course I'll keep coming. So it's really a strange element when we let people run off with their own emotions in decision making, because we know they make decisions emotionally, not rationally. So sometimes we just have to put a different emotion in front. So I'm sharing all of this because I want you to realize we get very stuck. We know what we think, and we think that's the way things should be. Or if somebody doesn't respond the way we want them to, we sometimes get disappointed. And in that, we don't realize our own power. So when I have the one-on-one, when I can sit down with Amanda, when I can sit down with Annie, it's easy. Really, it's easy, and I like it. It's like a game of chess. I enjoy this. Especially if I have the need and the ammunition. Like if I did the intake, I just know they're in a bad emotional state, and we have to flip it. Actually, I'll tell you guys this. When I was talking to Annie, she kept saying, and they did an MRI, and it didn't show anything, and they did an X-ray, and it didn't show anything. And I said, what would you think if I said maybe some of that pain is emotional? And she goes, oh, my God, I thought that. I said, why? She goes, because my shoulder pain started when I started dating this guy who turned out to be the wrong guy. So I said, let me tell you about this biofeedback system we have. So she rejoined and made an appointment to do an infinity session next week. So, you know, again, I like it. It gives me an opportunity. I feel I have a sense of control. It is much, much, much harder to market to the masses. Marketing to the masses will always require trial and error because there's lag time between the attempt and the outcome. In other words, when I'm talking to Amanda, if I say something and her facial expression changes, I know I prompted a reaction. But when I'm dealing with the masses, I have to put something out there and see whether or not they respond. So a few months ago, I had this idea of free weight loss. And it took a lot of morphing and caressing to make it work. Now, I told you my seminar is coming up on Thursday. Because of the last outcome, I decided this time to do it at a hotel conference room, to include a physical package for those who buy, and to close them in their seats. So those are the things I'm going to do differently. So rather than have everyone go to the back of the room and fill out a form, those people who buy will do so at their seats. I will collect their completed forms. I will bring them to the back, and I will say to my staff, put these packages together for these people, and they'll immediately start putting together a physical package for each one of them, which means nobody else in the room gets one unless they change their mind. So this is coming from my outcome. Like, this is what I'll do is I'll leave and I go, well, shit, I didn't close anybody last time. I never had that. Zero. So I got to figure out something. So rather than just going, oh, nobody wants that, nobody wants to buy it, it requires some thought and it requires some trial and error. Now, I don't have the outcome until Thursday, but I'm really optimistic. This time around, once I got registrations, I had my staff confirm. I had my staff ask them if they would like to bring a friend, get the name, phone number, and email of that friend. They said, we can't hold a seat without a phone number and email. And then call the friend to confirm. Whoever has conversation in the back, just mute. I also this time went a step further. I had my staff make phone calls and do a 5-minute interview with whoever would answer the phone about what they want to get out of it. I just want to be totally prepared to close this time. So what I learned is of the 40 people we have registered, they range from never lost the 10 pounds after my second child to I have over 100 pounds to lose. So now that I know that, I'm going to address that in my presentation. I'm going to say that. I'm going to say whether you have only 10 pounds to lose, which you couldn't get rid of, or whether you have over 100 pounds to lose. This program will work for you. So everyone in the room feels like I'm speaking to them. All of this came from the last experience. This is all learning. So it's never, I tried something and it failed. It's, I tried something and I see potential, but how could I do it better? So marketing requires learning and experimentation. And, you know, Tony mentioned Eric Ruth. If anybody knows that, he does. He's a student. He reads, he practices, he tries things, he tests. That's how he got good. So marketing requires learning and experimentation. Joe Weider told me years ago, you can have the best product on the planet, but if you're outmarketed by a competitor, you lose. Marketing is the real key to a business's longevity. And for many years, I took that quote from him. He said it to me personally, and I shared it in my business seminars because this came from Joe Weider. And he acknowledged that, you know, The product that I had called Reload years ago was a recovery drink, and it was a great, great, great product. I got that formula from Weider Laboratories in Utah because they created a product based on that formula, and in order to sell it retail, the fulfillment company had to get their share, the distributor had to get their share, the wholesaler had to get their share, and they used the highest quality products. So it was so expensive that another company, I think it was called Cytomel, C-Y-T-O-M-E-L, I believe, outmarketed them and had a better price. They made all the same claims. It wasn't true, and their product wasn't as good, but Joe just knows when he goes, you know what, we just got to pull this one from the market. And I said, could I have the formula? And they gave it to me. So that's where Reload came from. So he definitely had the better product in that case, but he was outmarketed. So all of these lessons stuck with me. I would guess that conversation was 1992. That's how long ago. Back then, around the same time, one of my personal training clients who was hugely successful in designing products for QVC told me, here's what he said. He said, what I learned that changed my future is my business is not inventing the product or even manufacturing it. Those are my obligations. My business is selling it to people who believe they need everything it offers. I have that in front of me. I'll read it again. This is a man who designed hundreds of products for QVC, made millions upon millions of dollars. What I learned that changed my future is my business is not inventing the product or even manufacturing it. Those are my obligations. My business is selling it to people who believe they need everything it offers. Now, again, that was years ago. So I told you at the beginning, there's a huge variable now, and that's those people who have really mastered virtual marketing, online marketing, social media marketing, and those who haven't even touched it yet or are afraid of it or shy away from it. Everyone is now an easy access marketer. You know, we see people, and it offends us. I see every day, you know, ads being run by people who I know are full of shit. But you can tell their ads are reaching people because you see them again and again and again, which means they're investing a lot of money. So, okay, we can't shy away from that and pretend it doesn't exist. The truth is, everyone who wants to be an easy access marketer now can. So rather than let that discourage us, we've got to step into the arena and be better than they are. Maybe not better at marketing. So if I'm talking all about marketing and I'm saying we need to step into the arena, but maybe we don't have to be better at marketing, what can we be better at? Well, for me, it's delivering results with a given avatar. Nobody can claim to reverse chronic disease and deliver like I do. Nobody has the track record I do. Now, if you guys hunt and search and find somebody, great. But I'm willing to say that until somebody puts someone else in front of me who has the same track record. I've worked with hospitals, research studies. I mean, I have data to back it up. So people can certainly outmarket me, but put me in front of somebody in this marketplace with my life experience and my passion and my knowledge, I'm going to win this avatar every time. So you guys have that same power. So I'm telling you this, free weight loss is working for me. I haven't mastered it yet, but it's working for me. But if you attempt to simply initiate the hook, it isn't enough. If everybody ran an ad that said free weight loss, but they didn't have the follow-up that I did, they didn't have the capture page that I do, I can't promise it would work. And all of those things that I'm telling you about, the phone calls, the follow-up, that all came out of trial and error. That's not where I started. I just started with the hook, free weight loss. So if you want to capitalize on it, here's what I now know. You need to create a registration process. You can't wait to the day of the event and see who shows up. You need to create a registration process. You need to communicate with the people before the event, ideally by phone, but that's not always possible. You need an ability to take a pulse on the ads you're running and stop running them if they're not working. You need a willingness to accept, perhaps accept often, that what you thought would work didn't, and change is required. Now, I want to go back to my last seminar, just to refresh your memory. I had 40 people there. I offered a free seminar, I'm sorry, a free 21-day program. And then I offered a $897 program with a $200 discount if they do it that night with IVs and training and all of the stuff. And I saw when people went to the back of the room, I saw them filling out the paper, and I was happy until I looked at the papers. Everyone chose the free program. So I didn't make this work out of the gate. Everyone chose the free program. So if I left it at that and became discouraged, then absolutely it would have been a failure. My conclusion would have been nobody wants to pay for a program. But today, if I total up all the dollars, including Thrive Sales, personal training, and in my case, memberships, that potential goose egg that I would have walked away from discouraged has turned into well over $25,000 in revenue, with nine people buying memberships ranging from $300 a month to $900. So when you're looking for the magic formula, I don't think it exists. When you see these guys who are standing by their Ferrari and they're going, you know, 6 months ago I was broke, but look at me now because I learned the secret. The secret is a lot of hard work, a lot of experimentation, a lot of trial and error. And I'm learning that you can't really outsource your marketing. I've done it. I have somebody right now. I'll talk about it if I have time. But really what works the best is the education, the experience, and going, man, what could I have done better? You know, where did I miss? Where did I fall short? So I'm sharing with you guys my line of thought that's taking me to do another seminar. I believe I'm making shifts that are going to bring about a very different outcome. Now, I could be wrong. I might get zero. But I'm certainly putting myself on the line, giving it a shot. So let's talk about Troy's experience. I never rely on a flyer. That doesn't mean I never use a flyer, but I never rely on a flyer. When I've been asked, I've been reluctant to give anyone materials. People ask me often, can I see the materials you use? It's really not materials. I told you the Facebook approach that worked the best the last time around was just a post with a lot of emojis in it. Now, again, that's not what I would think would work, but it did. So I'm using that again next week to just try to drive a last-minute stream of people in, because that's short-term. You know, I think if those people register long in advance, they'll forget about it. So I'm starting that on Monday. The reason I have flyers is because they're a handover. They're a physical exchange when there's a dialogue. Somebody can take something home to someone else. I told Troy I have a relationship with a couple who owns a pet shop, and they both need to lose weight. I told her I would take money off of her program if people bring the flyer in with her initials on it. So in that case, I could leave her with something. But really, I don't expect the flyer to work. And as I said, that's a concept I've shared since I wrote my Personal Training Profits book in 1993. I'll also say, in my experience, Facebook ads never work. What I mean by that is you don't run a Facebook ad and get a customer. Maybe some people do. I haven't seen it. But Facebook ads have their place. What they do is they draw people's attention and get them to click. So it's for the moment you have their attention, literally for a fraction of a second. They click. That then gives you 2.5 seconds to capture the person's attention, which is why the landing page has become a must. So running a Facebook ad, unless like the only way I've really made it work to capture is if I offer a free book, which I've done, like a free ebook, and I say just reply below, comment below, I want the book, and they reply, I want the book, and then I send them a Facebook private message, and I say send me your email address. But to go a little more mass market than that, the Facebook ad has to land at a landing page. And now rather than being just a little something on the screen, you're the whole screen for 2.5 seconds. Can you in that 2.5 seconds get them compelled? Now, when I would charge for the initial seminar, I needed a lot more copy. But when I offer free weight loss, I can capture an email and a phone number pretty easily now. So the ad has to get them to click, then they have to land on a landing page that compels them to give you their information. When they click, if your landing page delivers your message, the message that works for you, that they'll respond to, The next step is you capture the email and phone number, and now you have, at best, a good lead. Don't expect them to sign up. I don't remember the exact numbers, and I don't have them in front of me, but I think I had 170 people actually register for the last seminar. 40 showed. So I'm kind of playing those numbers again. I'll tell you something else I'm doing this time around. I'm releasing a new recipe book in January. So I've used it, the concept of the recipe book, to increase the number of callbacks when I confirm seminar attendees. So what has happened thus far, remember I told you we had 170 registrations, but only 40 showed. So we normally get a 35 to 40% callback from voicemails. If I leave a voicemail and going, hey, this is Phil Kaplan, you registered for my event. Hey, just give me a call back. I want to confirm your seat and see if you want to bring anybody. 35% will call me back. So most will not. But now I say, hey, I've got 25 recipe books to give away to the first 25 people who respond. Give me a call back if you want me to hold a recipe book for you. 85 to 90% call back. So these are things I'm learning. So when people say, how'd you get these people, and I say through Facebook, it doesn't mean the Facebook ad worked. The process worked. The Facebook ad got them to click. It led them to the landing page. The landing page compelled them to give me their information, and then I called them, and then I offered them a bribe to call me back. But this is all what I've learned. In all of my years of marketing, the greatest funnel of all remains the live seminar. We have the reach, the funnel, the spillover. The greatest funnel of all, ever, is the live seminar, whether it's an orientation with 6 or 8 people or a huge group with 1,000 people, because you have a captive audience. And there are two variables to making the live seminar work. One, getting butts in seats, and two, closing. And both are equally important. If you're trying to close nobody in the room, you're not going to do very well. If you get a lot of butts in seats, but you're not good at closing, you're not going to do very well. So both are important. In most cases, if my room is filled with my avatar, I can close half the room. And some of you guys have seen me do it in different forums. I kind of count on that. That's why I was shocked when I closed zero. And I was determined. I was like, I have to crack this code. I have to figure this out. There was a time where I was doing a lot of consulting with health club owners, and I would go into a city because, again, the greatest funnel was always the live seminar. So I'd go into a city, and I would do a small group seminar for 8 club owners. They would have to be non-competitive with each other. So if somebody signed up from a neighborhood or a region, I wouldn't let any other club owner from that region come. That's actually where I met Joe Cerulli. He came to a seminar that I did in Orlando. Joe Cerulli, who owns Gainesville Health and Fitness. That's the first time I met him. He attended a seminar. So I would send out, this was way before internet, but I would send out a very nice brochure, and it was titled Maximize Your Selling Potential. I bought lists of health club owners, and I would charge $249 for the event, sell it out with 8 people. And I learned that I could easily close half the room on consulting, which I charged $6,500 and up for. So Mike Carpino worked for me. He would set up the seminars. He would take care of all the mailings. We would get 8 people registered. I would do the seminar. And then what I would say is, I can only accept 2 consulting clients, and you have to be non-competitive with each other. I can only accept 2. And sure enough, 2 people right away would go, I want it. That was it. Done. So even then, I learned the live seminar gives you power. You just have to get the butts in seats, and you have to close. That taught me a lot about delivering enough value to get the people in the room to what? I gave a lot of value in that seminar. I talked about influence. I talked about selling. I talked about my Navaca system, need, ammunition, vehicle, alternatives, qualify, advisor. And then the 4 hours was up. And they all believed that I had something they needed, but they didn't have enough to go change their business, so they wanted to hire me as a consultant. So that hasn't changed. You've got to stand in front of your group, deliver information where they go, oh, my God, that applies to me. Yes, that makes sense. Wow, circadian nutrition? Oh, I get it. Adrenal overload? Yes, you're talking to me. Functional six? Wow, very cool. Oops, it's over? Now what do I do? So my suggestion is market free weight loss. In addition to whatever else, like if you guys have things that are working now, keep doing it. But free weight loss is working. It's just you need all the pieces. And I don't have 100% of the pieces. I have enough for my own comfort level, but I've been hesitant to say to you guys, okay, go. Because, you know, what happened to Troy is what I was afraid of. But I think as you're listening, it's becoming clear why there was a huge difference between what Troy did, taking a flyer and putting it out everywhere, including social media, and the system or the process that I've learned to use. This wasn't taught to me. This was all from trial and error. Now, I mentioned outsourcing, and I said, you know, there are lots of companies out there who will do your social media for $3,000 a month, or they'll promise you X number of leads. And I've been through a bunch of them. I have a company I work with now. They do medical, and they mostly work with ketamine clinics. I don't know if you're familiar with that. Not important right now. But they get me, as of the last 6 weeks, 19 leads a week. So it pays for itself. I pay them $3,500 a month, and they get me about six members a week. Out of 19 leads, I'll get six members. So they pay for themselves. But I have to say that I can't rely on them to fill a seminar room. I can't rely on them to make me successful. I think the real trick is learning to do this yourself. If there's a part of you that goes, I hate marketing, I hate this stuff, move that part of you out of the way. I'm not asking you to obsess over this, but I'm saying try some of these things and be willing to experiment. The expense is not high. I'm not talking about spending a lot of money here. I know Tony sometimes listens to this and goes, oh, okay, well, you have your staff. You have people who can make the phone calls. Hey, I would do it myself. I do have a staff. And I also have three facilities right now that I'm operating. So I don't think it's unreasonable to expect my staff to do things like this. But if I were focusing just on one facility and making a seminar work, I'd make the calls myself. I make some of them myself. In fact, I have one to make as soon as we hang up here, Joanne Camacho. I got the lead today. Russell Brunson, some of you know, he started ClickFunnels. He's a leader in this new world of virtual marketing. And I've heard Russell speak several times, including at Grant Cardone's event. And some of the things he says shock me. Most of them I've heard, but some of them shock me. And others I find completely appalling. Honestly, I want to throw up. I just stand up in the audience and puke. And it isn't that he's bad, and it isn't that he's immoral. It's just that because his business is marketing and what he sells is marketing, he's marketing marketing. So he's all about marketing. So I sometimes fail to see the substance if he's teaching marketers to sell marketing. It's like this never-ending people learning to market nothing. But I acknowledge Russell Brunson built up an empire. He did something great. So although I'm appalled, I understand it. I understand it. I wouldn't say it, but I understand it when he says, create the sales letter first, because if you can't create the sale, you can't create the business. If you can't create the sell, if you can't get people to buy, there's no business. So he says, create the sales letter first. So why is that appalling to me? Because when he says it, he adds in, before you have a product. Create the sales letter before you have a product. If you think you can sell fitness to people, write the letter with the craziest claims possible, create a funnel that works to drive response, and then when the funnel works, create the product. So he's saying, create something that says, lose 20 pounds overnight while you sleep. In the dark, while you eat pizza, do 1 second of exercise every day. Create that. And then when people respond, good, then make the product. So it makes me sick because I look at the expertise just, you know, in this group alone, and I go, here are people that know nothing about anything, and they're creating a sales letter knowing that once they have the sell, they can create the product. What I hate about that is what you hate about that. It dismisses expertise. But we also have to pay attention. People aren't necessarily buying the best product. Weider gave me his formula because Cytomel outmarketed him. They're not buying the best product. They're buying the best marketing. We hate that, but it's true. A very long time ago, I went to a rickety hotel in Key West, and I met Gary Halbert. And after reading his newsletter, someone in the group at that event told me, if you like Gary's stuff, you should subscribe to Mark Ford's newsletter. And it's similar to Gary's, but it's a lot more professional. So I did. I subscribed to Mark Ford's newsletter. I don't remember the name of it. But Mark Ford became Mark Masterson. That's his pen name, same guy. And he wrote a book some of you probably read. Does anybody know? It's called Ready, Fire, Aim. And I liked his advice. It encouraged you to move before you overthink. It encouraged you to assess the outcome and modify. Like, if you don't get the result you were hoping for, then fire again. Just do it differently. And there was one line that I remember coming from Mark Ford or Masterson that stuck, and this is the line. The only thing that matters, if you want to get from zero to $1 million, and I think that was the subtitle of the book. It was called Ready, Fire, Aim, How to Get from Zero to $1 Million. He said, the only thing that matters if you want to get from zero to $1 million is sales. It's the only thing that matters. Now, I'm sharing these thoughts with you, not because I believe them wholeheartedly, but you can see where we tend to at times go the other way. You could see where the aquatic recreational therapist had her head in the sand because she was so averse to marketing. So we have to be open to the thought. The only thing that matters if you want to get from zero to $1 million is sales. I just finished telling you I want to throw up when I hear people saying you don't need the expertise because, of course, that's a part of the equation. But it can't force me to ignore this line of thinking. Now, back then when I read that book, and I had a distaste for selling. But intellectually, over time, between everything I read and everything I learned from mentors, my mindset and my mentality shifted. So while I hated to sell, and I said I'm not a salesperson, I also realized I couldn't survive in business without sales. So that didn't mean I had to love selling, and it also didn't mean I had to hate my job. It means I had to find a way to sell what I loved and enjoy that process immensely. And that's why when I told you, when I sit down with Amanda and she goes, of course I'm going to renew. And I sit down with Annie and she goes, oh, what was I thinking? Yeah, let's get me back active. Is it selling? I don't know. But it feels really good. And I'm a guy who still couldn't sell a house or a car. It's just what I believe in and what I love. So when I feel that I'm making an impact in yet another person's life and playing a role in their best future, that feels really good to me. So that was the mindset shift. The yes became the goal, but not the end game. The end game was thrilling people. And I also learned I can't thrill them if I can't get them to say yes first. And by the way, when you thrill people, you get referrals, you get new sales. So with all of this kind of thought shifting, what I'd like to do, and the reason I added the call today, is I wanted to introduce this idea to you. I will do my seminar on Thursday. I can't speak to the results until I do it. After the seminar, I can speak even at a more qualified level about the power of marketing free weight loss. And then I'd like to try a full-blown unified promotion where whatever ad I run, you run. Exactly. But you also have to know it's not about the ad. The ad will get clicks. You need to have the landing page I have. and you need to have the follow-up system that I have. And if you go, well, I don't have a staff, then you have to make the calls. We're talking about 30 or 40 calls over the course of a month. Because that's how I think you'll replicate my results. Just model it. Just do the same thing and do it along with me. Now, I'm also starting a live reboot a week from Monday. And the people who sign up at that seminar that I do will be invited to join that Facebook group. So I would like you guys to bring people into that group too. Let's all start it on the same day. I'm going to do the reboot myself along with the group. I invite you guys to do it too. Not Monday, but a week from Monday. So any leads that you have, any prospects that you have, any old clients that you have, think about, and we'll talk next Friday, but think about reaching out to them and inviting them into this reboot. And this is up to you. I would prefer that you sell them on it, but if you want to invite them free this time, there has to be a plan to upgrade them, and I'm going to tell you why. I think I shared this with you on the last call. Very few of the people who took the free program went beyond day four. I told you about Aaron Day, I believe. Aaron Day followed it perfectly, perfectly. And I couldn't get him the other day. I said, Aaron, can we sit down and do your testimonial now? And he goes, I don't have time right now. He's really uncomfortable. But, man, I got to get it because it's shocking. So just last night I saw my email that Aaron Day signed up for the Online Alive program. So, you know, here's the guy who is in the minority. He did the program, and he got a great outcome, but most of the people, there's another one, her name is LeFrancis, LIFRANCES. She also did it, of the free ones. But nobody else of the free ones did it. Everyone who did it with a trainer completed it. So I'm going to use that data. And that's why I'm saying to you, if we do this together and you have people you want to invite into the reboot program for free, I would allow it. I would say okay. But also, I'm not promising they're going to get an outcome. So I would like you to try to upsell them. Say you could do the program for free, but instead of you paying the $800 you'd normally pay for $397, I'll include training sessions, something like that. I don't want to overwhelm you right now because these are random thoughts. Next Friday, they'll be solidified thoughts. But I'm open to any thoughts, comments, questions. I know I covered a lot of ground about anything at all.
This is off topic, but you said you were going to post the genetic testing link?
Yes. I never sent you that information, right? All right, let me see if I have it right in front of me, and I'll do it right now. If I don't, I will by tomorrow. Tony, any thoughts at all on marketing free weight loss? I know you've kind of listened over the past few weeks or months. I know you were kind of interested but hesitant. Where are you on it now?
I like the whole notion of having the ready-made process. I mean, because, once again, for me, if I understand the process, if I understand what I need to do, I'm going to be a whole lot more amenable. I mean, especially if it's something that, you know, that's been done already. You know, for most people, the challenge is going to be performing the seminar. I mean, for me, that's the easy part. I'm just more concerned about, like you said, the efforting and the process for getting the bus in the seat. That's it.
Yeah, well, yeah. I mean, that's for everybody. I think everyone here would be strong at closing. But, yeah, that's the thing is how do we get the butts in the seat? So, you know, there's a difference between what I did and what Troy did, and I don't want Troy to think, oh, well, that's Battle Creek versus where Phil is. I think when you compare just putting out a flyer to, you know, the process that I used, it's very different. The question is, are you guys willing to follow the process?
Are you looking for an answer? The answer is yes.
Good. Troy, any thoughts?
Well, I think I got to listen to the call again because I just didn't see
anything in what you said that I didn't do. I can't do a process if I don't have people. I put out a thing for them to link to my landing page, and nobody linked to it. I can't do a process. I can't call anybody if nobody's in the funnel. That's where I'm confused. So,
all right. So part of the difference is I don't use the flyer online. I don't ever use the flyer online or even the wording of the flyer. I just say free weight loss, and all I want is a click. And that takes them to a landing page. And the landing page says – go ahead.
I guess I don't understand. Where you put – you say free weight loss like on a Facebook post?
Uh-huh. A Facebook ad.
All right.
Does everybody feel that way? I'm curious because maybe I completely missed on this call. Does everybody feel that way, that what I'm saying doesn't kind of make sense? It sounds like I just did the same thing as Troy.
Not too very different.
Hey, Phil.
Yeah.
Maybe it would help if we could actually go, if we could go find your Facebook ad somehow and us go through the process and see how it's different than Troy's. You know what I'm saying? Like, let us follow the process as clients or potential as prospects. How would that happen?
All right. Well, are you at your computer now?
Yes, I
am. Are you at your computer now?
I have one right by me on my desk, yes.
All right. So this is just a quick glance. This isn't it. I have to find how to get you to a Facebook ad because there's not one running right this minute. We start up again on Monday. But if you go to biohackersfitness.com, there's a rotating header, and the first thing says, the Weight Loss Fix Seminar, Fall in Love with Your Body with the Power to Transform. So it's not a flyer, and it just says, reserve a seat for free. Biohackersfitness.com. Tell me when you're there.
The weight loss fix, I actually came out, reserve a seat, free seat.
Right. Okay. So now if you click on it, don't fill this out. but you'll see you get to a landing page where you enter your information.
Right.
As soon as I get that information, you're getting a phone call from me.
Okay.
So there's one difference, is I didn't use the language on the flyer. It was just a free weight loss seminar. In this case, on the Facebook ads, it just says free weight loss. Facebook is really tricky. Like the image that you see there with the woman with the tape measure.
Yeah.
They reject it. And then I try it with different words and then they reject it. And then every once in a while it slips through. So I don't know how, but I try. Sometimes I can't use that image, but this is the process, that there's an ad that gets people to click. Now, if they don't click, I'll change the ad. This is what I mean about the trial and error. I'm not just waiting and hoping it works. If, you know, 2 days go by that I didn't get any leads, I'm going to change the ad. I'm going to go, something's not working. So after the webinar Thursday, I'll do this. I'll break it down. I'll actually show you because I can't – I guess what I'm expressing is the ads change. I don't have one ad that works. Sometimes it pulls and then it stops and then we change it. But the theme has been the word free and the words weight loss. That's what's pulled the best for me.
Okay, so Phil, I made a note at 4:48 or so. You gave us basically 5 to 7 points, like have to create a registration process, you have to contact people after registration. I'm going to go back and pick those back up again. But that's really where the process changes. And just the tool that we use, it may be different than what Troy has done. And in Troy's case, he hasn't gotten people to the process.
It sounds that way. And also, a flyer is very different than a short message getting people to click. Like, you have to realize that a flyer reveals itself to be a solicitation, just in the fact that it's a flyer. So when people see it, they don't read the whole thing ever. Never. But something like this that has a pretty skinny girl with a tape measure and says free weight loss, they click. They just click. It's purely impulse. It's nothing more. They're not analyzing. They're not intellectual. They're not in their intellectual brain. They just click. Now when they click, now I'm asking them to just register to get a seat for free. So they do. They're still not fully compelled. Now I need to call them, and that's when they're compelled. So this is a great lead-generating system, but it's not fully automated where I don't have to do anything. So it's really no different than years ago when I would go on television and I would give out an 800 number and people would call, and then we would talk to them and get them to sign up for the seminar. Conceptually, it's the same thing. It's the same process. It's just a different medium. Guys, tell me how I could come next week where you guys are going to go, I see, because I do feel a sense of Troy's frustrated. He's feeling like he did everything right and it didn't work. And it makes me feel as if I could have explained better. So I'm going to go back and listen to this call, but I want you guys to give me some direction, what I could do next week so everybody says, I see how I could do this.
Well, I think, you know, this is only my 2 cents on it, and I've probably been the most resistant because I've just fucked up running the reboot so many times, for lack of a better term, to be honest with you. I think it's just that we have to, on blind faith, if you want to call it that, I don't think it's blind faith, but we have to say, all right, we're in, we're going to just do it. We're going to grin and bear it and go through the process, we'll be smarter and wiser and actually more able to tell you, Phil. You know, now we sit and we listen, we're in awe of it, and it gets a little bit awe-staking because we made this call and we followed this up and I had this conversation and we hear so many stories, you sort of get awestruck by it. You say, fuck, I wish I had that much time to do this, right? So I think that we just have to commit and say, we're going to do this date. We're off and running and we're going to get it done. And 21 days after we started, we're going to look back and say, all right, here's what we didn't understand. Here's what we didn't do well. I mean, I really think it's one of those kind of things. And we're going to have to just commit and say, hey, listen, 5 hours a week we're going to put into this deal. And I think every one of us in the room will be shit happy if we generate $25,000 in revenue.
Yeah. And by the way, I think 5 hours a week is reasonable. I don't think it's more than that.
Let me ask a quick question, Phil. So I love the website that you directed us to as far as that clears up a lot for me. So
okay.
That's where you're getting your – people are just somehow getting to your website?
No. That's the ad, but I run it on Facebook. It's not running on Facebook right this minute.
Okay.
I don't get a good response late in the day Friday, so it only runs until noon on Friday, and then I start it up again Monday morning.
And that's the – slider picture.
It's the phrasing and the picture from the slider, but it runs on Facebook as an ad.
Yeah, I got you.
So it's not sliding on Facebook. It's actually just an ad. And as I said, I have to change it up because sometimes they won't accept it with that kind of image.
Right.
So I don't know if you ever submitted Facebook ads, but sometimes they send it back and they go, this is not acceptable, go read our rules. And they send you to like 50 pages of rules. And so what I've learned to do is change a word and send it in again. And sometimes, like on the third time, it just gets accepted. So I don't know if there are actually people looking at it or it's just algorithms. But that's probably the most time intensive is when they reject the ad and you have to do another one.
Okay, I got it. Well,
okay.
I can do that.
Good. And remember this, Troy. The goal of the ad is not to sell them. The goal of the ad is just to get them to click. So if you think you have a half a second, like you got to get their attention and go, oh, free weight loss, click. And then they come to a page that says, get your free seat. What's your name? What's your phone number? And then they do. And now you have a lead. So when you call the lead, you go, you know, hey, this is Troy conducting the Weight Loss Fix Seminar. I'm so glad you registered. I want to make sure that I have all your information correct. Is this your proper email address? Great. And we're going to reserve a seat for you. Do you know where so-and-so is located? Fantastic. And being that we still have about 15 open seats, is there somebody you'd like to bring with you? Okay, good. Can you give me the email and phone number so I can confirm them? And that's the way the calls go. Now, remember what I said. Sometimes they don't answer the phone. because they don't recognize the number.
Yeah. Yeah.
So what I find is making a big difference is I'll go, hey, Troy, I'm so glad you just registered for my seminar. Listen, we have a recipe book that we're giving free to 25 people. We still have a few to give away, but you got to call me back so I can put your name on one of them. So call me back as soon as you can. And then they call right back. So these are things I've learned. I'm just saying nobody handed me this plan. I've just learned these things make a big difference. So if it changes my callback from 35% to almost 90%, it's something I'm going to keep doing.
Okay, so one technical question.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm assuming you're not just typing this into the post on Facebook. You're putting it into, or are you?
No, I'm going into Facebook Ad Manager.
Right.
And you upload an image and you upload text. And then you choose your market. You choose like...
Yes, I got that. Yep.
Yeah, okay. So, you know, I've toyed with that quite a bit. And the thing with a live seminar as opposed to a webinar is I have to go geographical. If it's a webinar, I could go like everyone on the planet, whoever bought Weight Watchers. But if I'm doing a seminar in Sunrise, Florida, I want to do a 12-mile radius.
Yep, got it. Okay.
And this comes from the experience of doing it. That's what I'm saying. Like at first, I guess it seems burdensome. And it'll get frustrating, and you'll submit an ad, and it'll get rejected, and sometimes you don't know till the next day. Or, you know, you get your registration forms, and you go, oh, shit, I forgot to put in the phone number field. But all of that's a part of the learning process. So it gets to be fun when there's interaction. Like, you know, as an example, when people aren't calling back, that sucks. You know, you hate getting voicemail. Like, you wish they'd answer the phone. Because you know most people won't call back. But then you discover something like the recipe book and you go, ah, this is fun now. People are calling right back. It's like you learn a little trick that works. So when you put them all together, you systemize the process. And by the way, I think the process must also be subject to change because just because it works in September of 2019 doesn't mean it's going to work in February of 2020. That's how fast things change today. But... listen, I'm getting people to show up. I made over $20,000 in that last event. I want you guys to be able to do the same. So let me do my seminar on Thursday. I'm hoping I get a good close so then I could feel really good about sharing it with you. Who knows? Maybe it'll be $50,000 this time.
Awesome. I'll take $5,000 for my seminar.
Okay, good.
I think good. From zero to 5,000 would be a plus.
It would be a plus 5,000 if I did my math correctly.
Cool. All right.
Any other thoughts, comments on anything at all that I shared, even talking about the medical fitness?
I'm looking at the biohacker site.
Tony, what are you at, a jazz bar?
Yeah, something like
that. He's at happy hour. We're still working, for God's sakes. What are we doing wrong?
I'm with my son at the barber shop. It's a Dominican shop. There's a lot of salsa and merengue playing in the back.
All right, good. Anyone else? Any questions about anything? All right. Tony, I am forwarding to the group the email Jessica sent me that has a download of a report and the information. Okay?
All right. Cool. Thank you.
All right, guys. So we will talk next week. Mark it on your calendar. And any questions or thoughts, post them to the group before then. Until we speak again, be better, everyone. Bye-bye.